Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton.
Hey guys, welcome to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. This is your host, Thomas. And this week, I am not riding solo. I'm sorry, listeners, if you had to bear that horrible burden last week of listening to me and not having my other host, who is on the show today, David Carver, the man, the myth, the legend. He is on today, so you listeners can listen. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm most happy about the fact that the listeners can listen. I didn't think that was a great quote by you, Thomas. I was so sad to miss last week. You did a great job while I was gone. But I am ecstatic. It's playoff time. We had week 17. We got through a full season with the NFL. A lot of us didn't know what was going to happen. I know there's a lot of doubters out there with the COVID that this was ever going to happen, but we did it.
Yep. 2020 is in the books.
2020 is in the books.
Hopefully we never have to return to that book ever again, but it's in the books. Week 17.
I don't know. This might be pretty selfish for me, but I mean, my teams did pretty good. So, I mean, the Suns, you know, this isn't a basketball show, but Suns did pretty good in the bubble. My Phoenix Suns, probably the best time I've ever been best time I've had being a Suns fan the last 10 years. We get Chris Paul. We had a solid start to the year. My Green Bay Packers, we know the Green Bay Packers are doing Green Bay Packer things. Who cares about a pandemic, right, when the Green Bay Packers are playing good?
Well.
All right, so before I take this too far and everyone logs off thinking that we're haters on world events. And thinks that we literally only care about sports. Thomas, week 17, was there anything that you needed to bring up about this famous last week of football?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, man. I'm going to be honest with the listeners, too, that I watched approximately 15 minutes total of this week. Of course, I know all the scores and some of the stat lines, but I do not have anything major to take away. Besides, we have the NFC East champion, the Washington football team. Comes away 7-9. They win. They're going to host a football game next week, playoff game. That's the only thing that really stuck out to me, which I kind of want to get your thoughts about that in a moment. But, David, was there anything that stuck out to you?
Yes, and it's about the NFC East as well. It is something I wanted to hit on. And I'm sure you've heard bits and pieces about this, Thomas.
This might have been the thing that I was going
to
ask you.
This might have been the thing you're about to ask me. Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
Hey, another one for not planning. That's another one more point for not planning. They're undefeated so far. Yes, Jalen Hurts. Going in, the Redskins, they were not the Redskins, the football team. And by the way, quick side note, is there any other better way for this NFC East battle between these four teams to end than a team being called the football team with a quarterback that could potentially not even walk again a couple years ago? And all the drama that we had the last week with Dwayne Haskins on that team. And don't forget, they also had Antonio Gibson, who had been banged up the last few games, and Terry McLaurin, who had been banged up the last few games. Is there any better way for this to end than that team to be the NFC East champions? That's the only right way for it to end. But Jalen, the Eagles are in this game this week. They're down. I think they were down by 3.
Yes, they were down by 3.
Old Dougie Peterson makes a quarterback change, puts in Indiana legend Nate Sudfeld at quarterback. Instantly, And by the way, if the Washington football team had lost this game, the Giants would have been the NFC East champions because they won earlier in the day. So instantly, every Giants fan in the world, every Giants player in the world is ticked off. We have had a complete tirade across the fandom of the NFL for the last few days. Everyone's losing their mind. How in the world could the Eagles throw a game? We have Joe Judge, coach of the Giants, get on and rage on the Eagles and talk about how it's a disgrace to the sport and talk about how he would never do that to the Giants fans. Even pulled the card of, you know, these guys are out here risking their lives for this game and you're over here throwing a game away. Everyone's upset about it. Apparently there's players that tried to fight Doug Peterson in the locker room and people were holding them back. It is all-out war in Philly over this decision to bench Jalen Hurts down 3 and put in Nate Sudfeld. What in the world happened, Thomas?
Dude, I don't know.
Where do you stand on this?
You know, a couple things. Doug Peterson came out after the game and said he was competing to win that game. I don't know how you're competing to win when you're benching Jalen Hurts and putting in your third stringer. That doesn't make sense. I don't understand that. I think that's total bogus. It doesn't make sense from any point of view thinking that Doug Peterson is on the hot seat and that he would do this. It almost even makes him – maybe he knows something we don't know. Maybe he's on his way out and he was just going to do something. I don't know. I have no idea what to think. And then, like you said, David, I'm so glad you brought this up. Listeners, we did not plan this at all. I was literally going to ask David this, wanted his thoughts, but I'm so glad he brought it up. Then we had Joe Judge this morning come up, go on a tirade, kind of throw a pity party about how he would never do this and this and that, even though he's the one that coached his team into that position to be in that position. So I don't understand that either. But a lot of things I don't know. Is Doug Peterson on his way out? Was this kind of the middle finger to the Eagles organization? I have no idea. But there was kind of crazy, kind of very one way to end a season for the NFC East. But yeah, those are my thoughts. I'm a little shocked. I was shocked. I don't know what's going to come out of this. I don't know if Doug Peterson is done. Yeah, I don't know. What were your first takes? What is your reaction?
Yeah, so my first take was no reaction. My first take was, to be honest, like, I didn't think it mattered until the next day when I woke up and saw the pandemonium. I think we can agree about one thing, it sounds like, here, Thomas. The Giants, the players of the Giants, the coaches of the Giants, the fans of the Giants, go cry somewhere else.
Right.
I don't care. There's two aspects of this for the Giants. First off, you were 6-10. Try and tell me how in any world you thought you deserved the playoffs. Number two, it is not the Eagles' job to make sure you get in the playoffs in any way, shape, or form. Right. So the Giants, although the Giants whiners, get out of the way, because on either side, whether you – I can see why people would be mad at this Eagles – thing, which I'm going to take a little bit of a lone stance. I'm kind of probably in the minority, but I can see the other side. The Giants, you are not even an aspect in it. It's not about you. You get out of the freaking way. You guys are put on garbage football all season long. We don't want you in those stupid playoffs. Football fans got to win. At the very least, we get to see Alex Smith in the playoffs, which all football fans can cheer for. But second, yep. Like, Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin, that defense, it's kind of fun to watch. That is not the Giants football team. I know the Giants have been playing some good defense, but they don't have Chase Young out there. We won. Football fans won in this situation, and I don't care about your stupid 6-10 Giants wanting to make the playoffs. Now we got that out of the way, Thomas. It seems like the other things we're disagreeing on a little bit. And I'm not blatantly disagreeing on it. I would question how much he – flat out, he didn't play it like it was a playoff game type of play to win. But I want to, and I know that they were within 3. I don't care. I want to put out Jalen Hurts' stats right here. 7 of 20.
Yeah, that is pretty bad.
7 of 20. Okay, well, maybe he's had a couple bomb plays, right? No, 3.6 yards average. 72 yards. one pick, a 44.5 QBR, which accounts for his running ability, and he did have two rushing touchdowns. I am done with the people making the rushing argument. If your guy can throw the football and he's running, great. Then I care. If he can throw the football and run, then I care. If he's Lamar Jackson and can run for 1,000 yards every season, then I care. If you can't throw the football, this is not high school football. I don't care. We can put – they could have put Miles – and I know Miles Sanders was hurt, but they could have put some running back in the backfield that's a better running back than Jalen Hurts that would have had a better impact running the football than Jalen Hurts. I don't care about his running. Yes, I get that's an aspect of what he does, and if he can do something throwing the football, then yes, I get it. But there's two aspects of this to me, first off, going into this Eagles decision. First off, like, I think that there's a legit argument to say, okay, Carson Wentz wants a trade. Not that we know everything we have in Jalen Hurts, but, like, we've seen Jalen Hurts for a couple weeks now. Nate Sudfeld has been there for four seasons and has not thrown a pass. Let's just see what happens. Maybe we get lucky. Who cares if we lose? Who cares if we win? I don't really think they were tanking because I think if they were tanking, they would have done it weeks ago with all the other tanking teams, by the way. They would have done it weeks ago and not risk. Do you know where the Redskins are drafting right now, Thomas?
I would assume pretty.
They're 19th. The Redskins are drafting 19th because they won. I think that's what I last remember. Now I'm starting to second guess myself saying that with so much confidence, but it's up there. The Eagles moved from 6 to 9. Oh, from 9 to 6. I'm sorry. They moved from 9 to 6 is what they moved from. They moved from 9 to 6. If they were a tanking team, wouldn't have it made sense that a few weeks ago when they realized that they weren't going to win anything, they would have just quit and not won the division. And then at that point, they would have been upwards towards fourth, maybe. But they definitely wouldn't have even risked being back there in the 1920s. But they risked that for every single week. And then all of a sudden this week, that two draft positions just meant such a big world to them. If they were tanking, why'd they start Jalen Hurts in the first place? And so I don't know where this confidence in Jalen Hurts has come from. 7 of 20. And I know he's had some good games. I'm not saying that he's garbage. I'm not saying he's the worst quarterback ever. But 7 of 20 in a game like this, and we know he's had his moments of, like, not looking that great throwing the football. Where is this lock that he's for sure the future? Why not just throw Nate Sudfeld out there and see what happens? Now, I'm going to just expose right now the complete and total – because, like – that first point is like, that's kind of my belief. That's what I believe. Maybe he is tanking. I don't know. Like, that's just kind of my belief. Now, the next side of this is where I think it's ridiculous. The next side of this is where I just think it gets ridiculous here, Thomas. Where in the world? I was watching a Patriots game 2 weeks ago, a New England Patriots game. And the entire game, the broadcaster said they need to get Cam Newton out of the game and put Jarrett Stidham in the game. The entire game, I had our mutual friend, Michael, who's a Patriots fan, texted me saying, they got to get Jarrett Stidham in the game. We got to see what this guy can do.
Yeah, dude, he's the MVP.
Is Jarrett Stidham anywhere near Cam Newton? We knew that. We've seen Stidham play football. We knew he wasn't as good as Cam Newton. And I get there's a little bit difference because Jarrett Stidham's under contract next year and Cam Newton's not. And I understand that completely. But, like, it's also different in the fact that you can say it now that you've seen it, but, like, let's see what Nate Sudfeld threw 5 for 12 for 32 yards and a pick. So he had two less completions than him on 8 less passes. He did not play worlds worse than Jalen Hurts. I get the rushing was there, and I understand that, and I'm not saying that doesn't matter at all, but I'm saying that Jalen Hurts is not proven to be the biggest. He's not proven to be a Lamar. And so if he really can't pass at all, you might as well just put a running back there that can do close to what Jalen Hurts does. I'm not saying any running back can do what Jalen Hurts does, but it's not like it's this. He's not this complete game changer there.
Right.
And even he wasn't there like that yesterday or the other night too. He wasn't there either. In fact, Nate Sudfeld on 2 carries had 12 yards. Jalen Hurts on 8 carries at 34 yards, 2 less carries than average, which I'm not going to say that's the end-all be-all. I'm not at all going to say that, especially because I'm pretty sure Nate Sudfeld got 12 of those yards on 1 carry. So I'm not going to say that's the end-all be-all. But I just don't get the complete outcry of this. I saw this and it's like, okay, yes, maybe they're tanking. What, in 2 years, how much tanking have we seen from bottom feeders? How much tanking did we see from the Bengals last year? How much tanking did we see from the Jets this year? How much? In fact, 2 weeks ago, everyone was making fun of the Jets for being the dumbest team in the world. But now all of a sudden, when the Eagles potentially tank, everyone is pissed at them. And talking about how we have a problem in the game. Everyone's okay. What is it okay that the Steelers do that game for the Browns? Because let's look at this. The Dolphins missed the playoffs. Well, in back-to-back weeks, last week, the Patriots going up against the Bills, a team that the Dolphins could have come into this week in a good position to win the division if the Patriots had won that game. Going up against the Patriots, and I know that it was like a double-digit game, but still, they take Cam Newton out and put Jarrett Stidham in. Then this week, the Dolphins get screwed over again because if the Steelers had beaten the Browns, they would have been in a good position to win. But it's okay for the Steelers to bench their quarterback the entire game. That's what I just don't get. I don't know where it falls in line. Maybe it was a little bit tanky. I got to get off this rant, but it's kind of fired me up these last few days, Thomas. Yeah. I don't understand. I don't like the Eagles. I hate the Eagles. But, like, I can't stand for the complete and total injustice these guys have gotten the last couple days, as everyone in the world's allowed to tank as long as it benefits them, and, in fact, are even mocked for not tanking, are mocked for not finding out what other options they have at quarterback can do. They're mocked for that. And then the Eagles do it, and all of a sudden, just because it hurts the Giants, the 6-10 Giants, we're gonna we're gonna get mad at them and rage on them and talk about how they're what's wrong with the game. No, what's wrong with the game is 4 seasons ago when the Browns tanked for 2 whole flipping seasons. They won 1 game in 2 whole flipping seasons. That's what's wrong with the game.
Yeah.
Oh, it fires me up, Thomas. It fires me up,
dude. I think it has a lot to do with because this affected New York Giants in such a big way. I think we're seeing, because New York, the city of New York, has such a big media presence, maybe we're seeing the outburst of this simply because it affected, you know, a market, a media market that has a lot of power. I don't know, maybe, because you're right, there's a lot of discrepancies as far as how people reacted. I will say this, though. It just seems super, super weird to me. It just left me kind of questioning it. Being in early, you know, you're in it, fourth quarter. You know, obviously Jalen Hurts wasn't playing a great game, but, I mean, you're in it. And, you know, it's the last week of the season. And I do understand, you know, Nate Sudfeld hasn't, honestly, I didn't even know about that guy until now, this week. So I can understand wanting to get him some reps, but I mean, I just don't understand why they didn't do it at halftime or something like that. But because Doug Peterson obviously had to, you know, this was a split second decision. I don't know, but you know, it just didn't make sense to me. But I do understand. I do understand. The hypocrisy in how everyone has reacted to this.
Yeah. And to be clear, I'm not saying I agree with the Eagles' decision. I'm not even saying, like I said at the beginning, like I don't think they were flat out tanking just because of what had been going on the last few weeks. I don't know that for sure. I don't have a super strong opinion on that. We don't know. Like, You kind of have to trust whatever way you see it and that. I'm not saying they made the right decision, whether they were tanking or weren't tanking. I don't know. Like, to me, either way, the benefit of seeing Jalen Hurts in a competitive game outweighs the potential of seeing a Nate Sudfeld. So I'm not saying I agree with their decision at all. I do not. And so I think I do agree with you on that, Thomas. It's just It's just the hypocrisy of hating on them. Like, right. It's one thing to sit there and disagree with them. And, like, I don't like tanking. I wish it didn't happen in the game. I wish that we didn't see any of it. But, you know, I just can't stand for the uproar of everything. I do think Doug Peterson should be fired. I do think his time's done in Philly. If for no other reason of how the players have reacted to this. I don't think he's going to be fired, but I think he should be. You know, you can't have your players trying to fight you in the locker room. That can't happen.
Dude, is that for real?
That's for real. It was said today that two players had to get held back on the sideline from fighting him.
Really?
Yeah, they were that mad. And so those players obviously not handling that situation right.
Yeah.
Not at all, but you can't have that from your players. When you have that situation, it's time to go. Either way, even if it was, I can't remember who it was. Someone came out today, one of the players, and talked about how it was just shocking, and it would have been one thing if they were kind of left in the loop, but instead they had no idea. Like, if they knew that he was going to treat it similar to, like, a preseason game where he might just give guys a look just to see what they have on their depths of the roster. But he didn't even communicate with them, and obviously I don't think yeah, the situation was handled right at all. Like, can't have it.
Yeah, you can't. It's not acceptable at all. Dude, I do wonder. I don't know. This is probably just me going on a trail that doesn't have any facts behind it. But, dude, I do know that the front office and Doug Peterson, there was tension. And I don't know. I wonder if this was the middle finger straight to the – I don't know. You never know. It's
– yeah.
You don't know. But it does leave me questioning.
If it was, that was stupid because at the end of the day, all he did was make it harder for him to get another job.
Another job.
And give them a better draft pick and give them an excuse for getting right. – an excuse for tanking, really.
Right. Dude, yeah, that would not be a very wise decision if that was his intentions, which we don't know, and we're not going to claim that. That was intentions on this show. But, David, NFL season, the regular season is over, which means that we have some awards that are going to be awarded. I could have phrased that a lot better. But we have some awards such as NFL Player of the Year, MVP, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year that are going to be handed out pretty soon. So that means for our show, we're going to make predictions. So listeners, fasten your seatbelts because it's going to be crazy. David, who are we going to talk about first? Let's do a little warm up round. Comeback Player of the Year. Who do you have for the 2020 NFL season?
Feel good story of the year. I think it's got to be Alex Smith.
Yeah, there's no question. No question, dude. It has to be Alex Smith. You know,
who would you say second?
Oh, you know,
cause I don't think there's even a debate for first. Yeah. Like, I don't know who would be it, but
yeah, I don't know if there'd be, yeah, for sure. Not a debate for first, but to be honest, that was literally the one award where I didn't even have to think about it. So I didn't know. I really don't know who would be second. Who would you have a second?
You know, I don't know either, Thomas. That's why I was asking. Like, I was trying to think of a second guy. I tried to see if I could find a second guy looking up stuff. Everything said Alex Smith, Alex Smith, Alex Smith.
Yeah.
So I would say probably you'd have to go either probably to Big Ben, I guess, because he was hurt all year last year. If you want to go with maybe like the career resurgence, obviously – I would probably say, honestly, the second place would be Aaron Rodgers. And it's not close. That's not an award where I think it's a debate. But, like, with what Aaron Rodgers did last year, where it looked like he was kind of on the way out, and then all of a sudden when he's done this year, like, maybe that's the second place for Comeback Player of the Year. Big Ben definitely has a say in that. But there's no one else. It's Alex Smith.
Yeah, it has to be Alex Smith. There's no question about it. Even if Alex Smith just would have thrown one pass this year, he would have won it. Which he deserves because everything that he's been through. But yeah, I honestly can't even think besides maybe Big Ben that would even.
Yeah. I would say maybe the next closest, besides the guys I mentioned, would maybe be Teddy Bridgewater, mm-hmm. who honestly did not play well. So
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
and he's played last year too, so it's not really his full comeback here. But I don't know.
No, totally agree, dude. So we got comeback players being wrapped up. Who is your NFL defensive rookie of the year?
Chase Young.
Dude, dang it. That's who I was going to pick.
Okay, glad we're on the same page.
Dude, yeah. He has 44 tackles, 10 tackles per loss, 7.5 sacks. He has a touchdown, too, a touchdown return. I don't know if he intercepted that ball or if he returned a fumble. But I think it was a return to fumble, right?
I don't remember. I think so.
But
I don't know 100%, but I think it was. I know he has an interception, I'm pretty sure. But
so, David, it wasn't your guy Jeremy Chinn?
It was definitely not Jeremy Chinn. I don't know how Chase Young's slipping so much under the radar. Like, last year, everyone freaked out. Like, Nick Bosa had Defensive Player of the Year hype. Nick Bosa had 47 tackles, 9 sacks, and a pick. And researcher, please tell me, 16 tackles for a loss. So, like, obviously, he definitely played a little bit better or produced a little bit better. But what the difference between barely talked about off defensive rookie of the year and defensive player of the year candidate is 6 tackles for a loss and a sack and a half?
Yeah. Dude.
It's kind of crazy.
Did you put Patrick Queen up there? LSU linebacker?
I think he's in the debate. I think he's definitely in the debate. I'd probably have him a second.
Second, yeah. To be honest. I'd have him second. Right behind Jeremy Chinn. I'm just kidding.
Oh, boy.
All right, so we got NFL defensive rookie of the year. Who's your offensive? I think we're going to agree on the same thing. We might not. We never plan these things on the show. So who's your NFL offensive rookie of the year?
Joe Burrow. No, Justin Herbert.
Dang it, we are the same one. I was about to go off on you for it.
Definitely Justin
Which
Herbert.
I don't do on the show at all, like ever.
Definitely Justin
Herbert. Yeah, it's got to be. I think the Los Angeles Chargers have a star. He's already a star, but he has an NFL superstar in the making. It's just unbelievable. How he's played and what he's going to mean for that team, it says a lot.
Do you think there's anyone close?
You know, a lot of people, which our former co-host and our friend, would probably put Justin Jefferson up there. Which I don't know what your thoughts about that are, but I know he's gotten some hype. Jonathan Taylor's gotten some hype. James Robinson, the running back out of Jacksonville Jaguars, got some hype. But I don't think they're close to Justin Herbert in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think most people would have Justin Jefferson second, include our co-host. Definitely would, and I got to put that to bed, to be honest. Like, Justin Jefferson, this is nothing about Justin Jefferson. So I am not about to say Justin Jefferson's not a flat-out star. He's amazing. But I've heard the talk, including from our former co-host, talking about how, Justin Jefferson deserves it, but Justin Herbert's going to get it because it's a quarterback's award. It's a quarterback's award. Well, first off, let's look at Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, what's his set like?
Did you know that he's not even first this rookie year in receiving touchdowns?
Really? Who would be?
The leading receiver for rookies was Chase Claypool. For touchdowns, he had 8. Now, Chase Claypool had 4 in one game, so take that as you will. But Justin Jefferson is not even the number one rookie this year in touchdowns, which is no slight on him at all. This is one of the best rookie receiving years we've ever seen. So no slighting him in the slightest. But we're gonna continue down this road. Did you know that this little thing going around saying that Justin Jefferson is now the NFL leading receiver for rookies in a season is false?
Hmm.
It's just in the Super Bowl era. And why you guys are all of you guys are already thinking, well, we only use stats from the Super Bowl era now. We don't. We do not use that. When Randy Moss broke the record for most receiving touchdowns by a rookie, it went all the way back to the guy in the 1940s that it was talking about how he beat it from. So don't say that we're using those stats, because we're not. Like, obviously they pop up here and there, but when they pop up, it's like very blatant and obvious usually. No, it's not happening with Justin Jefferson. Everyone's just saying he's the leading receiver in yards. There's a guy, Bill Grohman, who played in the Super Bowl era. He played in the Super Bowl era, but his rookie year was in 1960. He had 73 more receiving yards. So I know what you're thinking right now, like, okay, yeah, that's a technicality. It's only 70 yards. Yeah, who cares? Well, did you know that Justin Jefferson, going back to touchdowns, is not even close to the receiving touchdowns list? In fact, he is 10 behind Randy Moss's 17, which I get is insane, but there's no list for this kind of stuff. But in my researcher found that we found at least 10 other receivers that have more receiving touchdowns as a rookie than Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson, flat-out superstar, but undebatably not the best rookie receiver of all time. Let's get to Justin Herbert. I'm going to go quick. He has the most passing touchdowns by any quarterback. He has 31. Mayfield had 27. He has the most total touchdowns by any quarterback. He has 36. Cam had 32. So Cam Newton still had that record for most total touchdowns by a rookie. He beat that this week. He's the youngest quarterback, so this isn't even just with rookies, the youngest quarterback to ever throw 30 touchdowns in a season. The guy that previously held that was Lamar Jackson in his second year, that MVP year. So think about that for a second. Like, you're probably already thinking, like, okay, well, how many second-year players are under the age of 22? Well, the previous guy that owned that record was under the age of 22. So Justin Herbert broke that, and he's a rookie in that. Justin Jefferson did get him in one stat, though, because he didn't break the record for yards, though, Thomas. Instead, he was 39 total yards away. But wait a second. He was 39 total yards away, and he played one less game than Andrew Luck did that year. And so his yards per game was 289 yards per game, and Andrew Luck's was 273. So, like, it's hard to make a debate statistically that he's not the best rookie quarterback of all time, and that's the hardest position in football. So if you're over here trying to say Justin Jefferson or anyone else, get out of here. It's Justin, the Mustin, the Bustin, the Hustlin' Herbert.
Dude, totally agree. Kind of cool that they both had the first name Justin, and they're both competing for this award, but no doubt he goes to the man, Mr. Herbert, who I got one prediction right this whole year, and it was that one, that he was going to be, well, I actually made a career prediction. I said he was going to be better than any of the other rookie quarterbacks of that draft class, but we shall wait for 20 years to see if that comes true.
As of now, though, you're looking good, because Tua not looking
great for Mr. Tua. But David, so we have offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, comeback player of the year. What are we missing? Defensive player of the year, David, who do you have? I think we may have the same one on this one as well. I hope we don't.
I think this is the closest award of any of the awards. To me this can go to three different players that I would be okay with this award going to. I'm gonna go Aaron Donald, though. 13.5 sacks, I'm sorry, one less than TJ Watt, obviously. And I know put your mindset to this. I know it's hard to believe. Remember that Aaron Donald is not a pass rushing defensive end. He is a interior defensive tackle. So that one less sack actually, like, equates to him being five sacks better.
Yeah, that is a good point.
So I got Aaron Donald.
You know, I had TJ Watt, but, you know, I'm going to stick with TJ Watt. You know, we've seen JJ Watt. We've seen Aaron Donald light up the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. It's time for a change. So TJ Watt, 15 sacks. I know he didn't play last week. Probably could have had 17, 18 sacks. He's got 15. I don't know, dude. I don't know. This is probably one of those that's probably one of my dumb picks. But cut Aaron Donald.
No, I think that's
Aaron
fine.
Aaron Donald is such a beast. And like you said, David, he's an interior lineman. His position's not built to rush the quarterback, yet he manhandles guards and centers, like sometimes tackles. He manhandles those linemen like no other, and he just gets to the quarterback so quickly. So I don't know. I'm going to go with TJ Watt, the 26-year-old out in Pittsburgh. But I do think Aaron Donald is a beast.
I don't think you can go wrong with it. Like, I think we've grown numb a little bit to how good Aaron Donald is. Ndamukong Suh only had one season over 10 sacks, and it was his rookie year at exactly 10 sacks. Geno Atkins has only had three seasons at 10 sacks, and it was 10, 11, and 12 and a half. And so I think we've forgotten that literally defensive tackles don't do this consistently. But TJ Watt's been amazing this year. He definitely is deserving of it. And, like, I think the other guy that could be there would be, I don't know, Xavier Howard. 10 interceptions, pretty impressive. But I think any of those three can deserve it.
Yeah. Howard can go as well. Dude, what awards do we have left? I know we have the big one. Is there any others?
Offensive player of the year.
Dude, it's going to – does it have to be different than the MVP?
It doesn't, but it usually is a little bit different. Like, for example, the year that Peyton Manning won it, it won the MVP – with Denver, Adrian Peterson had his 2,000-yard season, and he won the Offensive Player of the Year, where he didn't quite win MVP because the team was bad and stuff, but he had such a good rushing season statistically that he was the Offensive Player of the Year. But it doesn't have to be different.
Okay.
Last year, I think Michael Thomas was Offensive Player of the Year, and Lamar was obviously MVP.
Okay. Dude, I'm going to go – just for the sake of mixing it up, I'm going to go with Derrick Henry. 2,000-yard season, 17 touchdowns. I honestly just love seeing running backs break that 2,000. I just love seeing running backs put up monster numbers, like a 5.4-yard average per carry and 378 attempts. Going Derrick Henry, the Titan himself, Mr. 6'3", 250-pound bowling ball, Derrick Henry. How about you?
Yeah, definitely, definitely deserving. I'm going to go with a little bit of a different route. This, when I started looking into this award, because I didn't want to go with the MVP. I wanted to go with statistical genius. I thought of Derrick Henry. I thought of Travis Kelce with what he's done as a tight end this year. There was a guy close to my heart that I didn't even think of that when I started looking stuff up, I've overlooked. His name is Davante Adams.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to shoot out Davante Adams' stats right now. Davante Adams' stats. 1,374 yards. 18 touchdowns. That's third all time. 18 touchdowns, third all time. 98.1 yards per game. That's first in the NFL this year in yards per game. Nearly at that 100 yards per game mark. 77.2% catch rate. And, like, we know what Davante Adams does with Aaron Rodgers. Not all those passes are easy. This is not Michael Thomas 77% catch rate. This is Davante Adams down the field, one-hand grabs at times, catching things over people 77%. Here's the craziest part about those numbers, though. He only played 14 games. So we look at a 16-game pace, up those receiving yards to 1,570 yards, and up those touchdowns to 20 and a half. Obviously, it wouldn't be a half. But, you know, he would be the third receiver of all time behind Jerry Rice and Randy Moss to get that 20 receiving touchdown in the season. Obviously, he didn't get there, but that's just such a crazy pace, and he's my guy, so I had to go with it. Derrick Henry, more than deserves.
Dude, and
I think Derrick Henry will probably win.
Dude, I think Davante Adams is a great pick. One of the most underrated NFL wide receivers in the NFL, in my opinion. He's just a complete threat. Wherever he lines up on the field, complete threat. Like you said, he makes those crazy, crazy, crazy catches. And he's just he's in line for being one of the great Green Bay wide receivers. You know, he's going to go down as that next guy. But David, it's a moment we've all been waiting for. The prediction of the MVP race And I know we both have this player in mind, and it's Russell Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Russell Wilson. Mine and David's prediction for the MVP of the 2020 NFL season.
No.
Just
absolutely not.
Just kidding, listeners. I have Mr. Perfect, Aaron Rodgers, lighting it up this year with 48 touchdown passes, five interceptions, completion percentage. I believe it's the best in his career.
Yeah, like 72%, yeah, if I'm remembering right. It's in the
70s. Over 4,000 yards passing. Touchdown percentage is 9.1. So kind of crazy. Kind of crazy. Who do you have, David? I have a feeling it's going to be someone a little bit different than mine, but who's your pick?
It's Aaron Rodgers. Mr. Fantastic. Mr. The Golden Beard himself. You know, what can we say about Aaron Rodgers?
That's right.
Already been said. He's freaking amazing. Something you forgot on those stats is something that I know that he would love us to point out. Good friend of the show, obviously. He also had 3 rushing touchdowns.
Oh.
So next time maybe remember those. Because, you know, that's not easy for a 37-year-old guy to get 3 rushing touchdowns.
And yes, he did.
So he's been amazing. He also put himself in great company, Thomas. There's only the best 3 seasons of a quarterback throwing over 40 touchdowns and the least amount of picks. He threw over 40 touchdowns and only 5 picks. That's best in history for someone that's thrown over 40 touchdown passes. And obviously, he almost had 50, 48. Second place was a guy in 2011 that went off for 45-6. Oh, that's Aaron Rodgers. Oh, third place, though, was a guy that went off in 2016 for 40-7. Oh, that's Mr. Rodgers. You're right. So he's put up too many crazy stats. He's the only quarterback to have 3 seasons of 40-plus touchdowns this year. I don't know how you give it to anyone else. Especially after not seeing Mahomes play this last week, and he's had a couple average games. Allen's amazing. Nothing taken not away from Allen, there. But yeah. Not quite there. Not quite there. It's Mr. Rodgers.
Mr. Rodgers himself getting an MVP award, dude. I don't think, like you said, I don't think it's even close. It would be the biggest shock in the world if someone else to receive it. So I do think Mr. Rodgers at age 37 is going to get another MVP award. But, David, I believe that's the conclusion of this show. Is there anything that you want to give to the listeners before we take off?
Nope. Join us. Just remember to log back in this week. We have a must-listen-to episode coming out probably Friday. So we're recording this Tuesday. This is 100% on me. This is never Thomas's fault when the podcast comes out late. It's my laziness.
David does 99. Yes, David does actually 100% of the production editing of this program. You know, otherwise known as the best podcast on planet Earth.
Well, thanks, Thomas. You actually fell right into my trap because that's what I wanted. Is I was trying to sound like I was taking all the blame, but really I wanted to make sure that everyone knew that pretty much. Everything that's ever happened with this podcast is my fault. I come up with all the planning. That's 100% false, by the way. I do most of the production work, which, as we've talked about multiple times, we don't have much production work. So, again, it's mostly laziness. But I'll try and get it out. This should be out on Wednesday. We're going to have another episode come out on Friday. You're going to want to listen to that. We're going to talk about our full-blown playoff bracket predictions on that.
And right, so yeah, have a good day, listeners. Good week.
Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod, or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/readytofootballpod, and make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.